How could it get even better, you ask? By adding a guy who eats, sleeps, and breathes KU, David Lawrence. DL and Nick Schwert on Rock Chalk Sports Talk every Monday from 4 to 6 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It is 4:18 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I am Nick Schwert with David Lawrence. We're out here live at the Dale Wiliotto Pre-Owned Center. We will be here till 6 o'clock, and joining us here in just a couple of minutes, we will be joined by... What was your title for Frank Sire?
The greatest quarterback ever in a non-spread offense.
Do you think it's important to note that?
Well, it's. Did you see the offenses that were run before spread?
Yeah, but okay. You saw Frank Sire play. How would he look in a spread offense?
Oh my gosh, he would be great.
Would he?
He would be great. And you know, going back to the legend 21. I mean, there's a lot about him that's better than anyone that's ever put on a uniform. And, of course, John Hadel and our next guest are good friends. Frank, I know you're excited about football, and, you know, I'm always, and you and I are both excited about football, but this year I think we both agree we've got more things to be excited about.
I think so, man. I've heard a lot of good things, and I've seen a lot of progress from what little I've seen in the spring and all that, but I tell you, he's bringing a fire and a passion that we haven't had in a while, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see.
All right, so we brought you on to ask you some of the tough questions. I've got my own opinions, but I haven't played quarterback quite as much as you have in my career. Peyton Bender, Carter Stanley, one of those will be the starting quarterback at the University of Kansas, and I think there's a pretty good chance we're going to see a lot of both of them, but one of them known to have the rocket arm. Peyton Bender, he can do all the throws. He can get the ball out of his hand a little bit quicker, which, of course, really helps on those lateral passes. And then there's Carter Stanley. You could say that Carter doesn't have the arm strength, certainly not to play in the NFL. He doesn't get it out of his hand quite as quick, but he's got a lot of intangibles, as we saw versus Texas and even versus Kansas State. I kind of want you to go through those, and I know you haven't seen Peyton a lot, and I know there's a lot of other things to say, well, you know, what can Peyton do? Peyton self-acknowledges he's not a runner. Okay, so he's taking that out. He's going to be back there, and he's going to make a throw. But just talk about some of the things that I mentioned, arm strength, quick release, being able to run, being able to think on the move under pressure like Carter has, and kind of go through that as far as where you feel the level of importance should be.
I think he's deep in thought. I think, no, wait, give him some time. I think he's coming up with his answer. We're having some technical difficulties with Frank. I think we may have lost him
again?
Once again. There he is. He's back. He's back from the dead.
I think I'm on. I thought I was on.
We got you, Frank.
All right, so it's very funny you guys bring that up because it's very similar to what I've always said about my two boys. You know, all the things you talked about, my sons had each of them in different ways. So if you combine them, they'd be one hell of a quarterback, right? So,
well said.
But, you know, that's just not how it is. That's not how it works. And I do know that arm strength is probably as important as anything that you're doing as a quarterback, but that is by far not the only thing that's important. And the things that I'd heard from my son, who just graduated there, obviously, and got to see Carter quite a bit, he was really impressed with the way that he handles the team, the way that he handles himself under pressure. He's got what they call moxie. You know, that word gets thrown out a little bit, but he's a kid that loves to compete. He loves to the heat of the battle. And, you know, all those kind of things are great attributes as a quarterback. And, you know, you can get around the arm strength thing. Our type of offense is a system that, you know, we don't always have to go down the field, you know, 50% of the time. We can use the offense to spread the field out and get people the ball in open space. And I think he could do a good job with that. But, you know, when you're talking about the young kid that's coming in, he does have that big arm, and you know you can't fake that. That's something you really can't coach. It's either you got it or you don't. And that's something that will definitely be a benefit for us down the road, for sure.
Frank Sire joins us. We are at Dale Willie Automotive. You brought up a lot of things to think about. And interesting, I said the same thing, thinking that the new kid, the young kid, is Peyton Bender. But it's actually Carter Stanley that has a year more eligibility because he was able to redshirt. Peyton, of course, did too, but he's already been at two different schools, and they will be competing head-to-head against one another. And looking at these two different things, as you said, if we could put them all together, you would have that perfect quarterback, but you can't do that. But kind of talk about some of the things in yourself that you were able to develop. You know, what are the things that we had just talked about that you can develop as you mature and are named the guy and can work on through hard work? And what are some of the things that maybe you can improve upon as much?
Well, the one thing that's probably as big as anything is the quarterback, and it's something that it comes with a little bit of experience, but you can actually, you know, have this attribute right away, and that's being a good leader and being someone that inspires confidence from your teammates. If you can get your teammates to believe in you and know that you're going to compete as hard as anybody on the field, you're going to be out there, you're going to risk your neck, you're going to risk whatever to get the job done. A reputation of being a little bit of prima donnas, you know, and sometimes they don't come across as being the tough guy or willing to put in that hard work or be the guy that's going to try to get that, you know, extra yard when they need it. Those are the things you can show right away that will instill confidence in teammates around you and make the team that better. So both do that, and that's going to help them develop as a quarterback. And the side of that, too, is good competition brings out the best in everybody. You don't want a number one guy that's just kind of cruising through his position because you know he's got it. You want somebody that knows you're going to have to fight for it. That competition brings out the best in everybody, and it just makes you a better quarterback.
Talking to Frank Sire here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. And when you mentioned leadership and being able to inspire teammates, clearly that Texas win last year did wonders for Carter Stanley's reputation in that locker room. Now Peyton Bender comes in, you know, just a couple of months ago, and he's kind of trying to almost make up for missed time because you can't really compete with what's already been done both on the field and in the locker room. From that perspective, how challenging would it be for a guy like Bender to kind of get everybody behind him and get everybody believing in him in such a short amount of time?
Well, being a newcomer, the one thing you've got to come across as is genuine. You don't want to try to force the leadership role. You don't want to force coming in and trying to take charge too much, because you've also got to learn your space, right? You got to learn where you are, where you belong. You're still a new guy, so as a new guy, you got to act that way. And there's a fine line between inspiring confidence and trying to be a new guy coming in and just telling people what to do and trying to take too much charge, because that doesn't come across very well either. So there's a fine line with that, and as a new guy, you got to learn that. You got to learn that balance. It's not something that that comes easy, but you got to know that number one, work as hard as anybody. That's the first thing that they will look at to see who's going to be working hard and who's going to put the time in, who's going to stay after and throw to the wide receivers after practice, that kind of stuff. And then you know, you got to be natural. It's got to be a genuine leadership. It can't be a forced, fake leadership thing, because that will be shown very early.
We talked to both Peyton Bender and Carter Stanley on Monday. These guys are roommates. They do seemingly everything together. They seem to be pretty good friends here. How close were you with the other quarterbacks on the team back when you were with Kansas? And, I mean, are there any difficulties about being, you know, really close friends with a guy that you're competing head-to-head against on an everyday sort of basis?
You know, I don't think there's any difficulty in that at all, because the first thing you got to be is a good teammate. And to be a good teammate, you got to get along with everybody. You got to help each other out. There's times where I'm sure when I was there as a young kid, Steve Smith was the incoming quarterback, and He was really battling for the job, and it might have been easy for him to say, you know what, you learn it on your own. I'm not going to help you. You figure it out. I'm battling for this job too. But he was very, very helpful. He helped me with the playbook. He helped me with film, and he was a great teammate. So you got to be that first because it is a team game. I know you're competing for a job, but you still got to work with the team and try to make it better for everybody. And then you just go out and battle. You know, they understand you can still be great friends and still battle for a job. That's the nature of what we do. So, but you got to be a teammate first. I think that's number one.
Frank, I've said before, and I'll say it again to you, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this. It's really all relative to who you play as much as how much you're going to improve or get worse. But Kansas improves, but then what happens to the rest of the Big 12? Give me a couple of teams that you think, in your opinion, will be ascending upwards, and maybe a couple of teams that you think will be descending down.
No, that's a tough question. The Big 12 is always competitive, you know that. But I think, you know, there's a few teams out there that we have a real shot at this year. And, you know, they've maybe in the past have had our number. But, Texas Tech, I think that's a team that we might this year. Iowa State, I think we have a chance at. I think we'll always battle K-State. We're going to, you know, we're going to be ready for that team whenever we can. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Oklahoma now, you know, with things going on. So there's a lot of question marks out there. There's going to be some teams that aren't going to do as well as maybe they were expected, and teams that are going to do a lot better than they were approached. So that's what makes it fun, though. That's what makes the season what it is, and that's why we love it, and that's why we watch it.
Frank, thanks so much for joining us. And what's great about our stage in life is we can enjoy it, we can break it all down, and tell them how we would have been a lot better in the past, right?
Exactly right, yes. We can pretend that anyway, right?
yeah. Well, I appreciate you, man, and we look forward to talking to you out around the first game, which is not very far away. I think it's like 36 days from now, the kickoff versus Southeast Missouri State. Yeah, and, you know, they start camp on Monday.
I know. It's nuts. And
what's your opinion on the fact that they are banning two-a-days from NCAA football, and that's why they're starting earlier, but no more two-a-days?
Well, you know what? They started that probably 40 years too late, in my opinion. But, no, I'm kidding. No, seriously. I know rules are meant to be changed, and I know – you know, with knowledge comes changes, and I understand that. But man, there was nothing like forcing kids to fight through adversity through two-a-days and through, you know, sleep deprivation, and you're just fatigued to the max, and that's how you develop. And you know, they're kind of taking that out. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But a lot smarter people than me have made that decision. So I guess we just got to go with it.
Frank, you're the best. We look forward to talking to you very soon.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. We'll see you real quick.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
All right, that's Frank Sire. Frank Sire joining us on the program. New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
We're at Dale Woolley Automotive, a great place to come out and get a used or a brand new vehicle. They got special deals on interest rates and also lease rates. But over here at the Certified Previously Owned Car Center, you can shop in 68 degrees, and I'm going to give you a couple of deals that they have out there in the parking lot of some sweet vehicles, one-owner vehicles that have been treated with great care, and you can come in today and get a great deal right here at Dale Woolley. They don't always just have the greatest deals. They have great service, and they treat you right. That's why they've been doing business here at 2800 Iowa since 1970.
Coming up next, David and I are going to go back and forth. We're going to try and tell you what the biggest keys to KU taking a step forward in 2017 are on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
He's been putting the Lawrence in Lawrence since 1977, and now he's putting it in your ear holes on Rock Chalk Sports Talk once again. David Lawrence returns to Rock Chalk Sports Talk as a special guest host alongside Nick Schwartz every Monday from 4 to 6 on the new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN.
437, new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN with David Lawrence. I'm Nick Schwartz, Derek Johnson back in studio. This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk live from the Dale Willey Auto Pre-Owned Center. Come stop by. They got a lot of nice stuff over here, a lot of great deals if you're looking for some new wheels. I just rhymed. I didn't even mean to do that. That was impressive.
They have great financing rate on previously owned cars. And, of course, they have the new beautiful previously owned car center here, 70 degrees. Shop inside. It's never too hot in here. And lifetime car washes on new or pre-owned vehicles and new vehicles on select models. They went from 17% off, which was a nice savings. They are now going to 20% off. It's or 0% for 72 months.
That's a pretty good deal. It's a lot of numbers. I'm not a math guy, but it sounds good to me.
Yeah. And wash your car for a lifetime like you can since you bought that Buick.
That's right. I keep that baby shiny.
You do?
You
got no excuse now.
Well, if you got a nice car, you got to keep it clean, right? That's kind of the point. You want to take care of it.
Has it helped you with the ladies?
I didn't need any help. I'm not gonna date the type of woman whose answer on whether or not
have
she's
you
gonna
shown
go
your
out
mom
with me,
that
depending on
beard?
Yeah, she doesn't like it. I'm not gonna go out with a woman who is going to. Her decision on whether she's going to date me is going to depend upon what kind of car I drive. You don't want that kind of girl. You don't want girls who are superficial like that. Right?
That's very deep.
Isn't that right?
I like that.
Everybody's shaking their head, and everybody's like, yep, that's right.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Did you hear this story? LeBron James wants to play with your favorite Josh Jackson.
How about that?
One of James' teammates, Kyrie Irving, asking for a trade. And one of the guys who LeBron, the greatest player on earth, is asking around about is Josh Jackson. And it makes perfect sense because if you were a 15-year veteran and you want to win right now and you want a young guy, you want somebody, some youth infusion, would Josh Jackson not be that perfect guy because of the tenacity and because of the way he plays? So many young guys are too cool and they don't want to compete and they think they've made it. Jackson's... like, he is kind of an old-school player, isn't he?
Well, I think what's different about him than any one-and-done that Kansas has ever had is he comes in aggressive immediately. He wants to make every rebound, make every point, make every steal, make every assist. The alpha dog of alpha dogs. And he's going to go to the NBA with that same mindset. You know, it's going to be all about being the best on defense, the best at making an assist, the best at finishing at the rim, and as what we saw, he went through a couple of months stretch where he was hitting about 45% from the three as well.
And that's after starting the season shooting below 30% from three. He was ice cold.
Oh, yeah, he was down in the low 20s.
And then to be able to kind of keep at it, that's what, to your point, for him, he's not always going to be the best at everything. And there are going to be growing pains along the way for him, like there are for every young player. But he's not the type of guy, at least from what we saw at KU, to get discouraged. He's not the type of guy who's ever going to let his foot off the pedal, which is why, out of all the great KU players we've seen come through the program, and we thought they were going to be great pros, and some of them weren't, and some of them didn't quite live up to the hype, I don't know if he's going to live up to the hype, but I know Josh Jackson's going to play in the NBA for a really, really long time. And he's going to play meaningful minutes in the league, because... if you play with that sort of intensity, coupled with the talent that he has, there's no way you're not going to reach a certain level of success in the professional ranks.
Well, I think he's going to get there. I don't know how long he's going to play because the wear and tear on your body. We don't know how that's going to affect Josh because that's a whole different level of play.
Well, let's talk some football because I know you've been itching like a fiend to get your football fix, so let's do it right now. And I'm convinced that the one area of this team that perhaps isn't getting talked about enough in terms of having the biggest opportunity to make an immediate impact on the overall team success is the linebacker core. Because you look at what this defense did a season ago, and sometimes we talk in generalities and we just say the defense needs to improve or the secondary needs to improve. KU gave up 37 points per game last year, and there were only 14 teams in the entire country who gave up more. They gave up 456 yards per game last year. Only 19 teams in the country gave up more. And most of those were rushing yards. Most of those were on the ground because of the injuries that the linebacking core sustained. Joe Dineen out for the season, and guys who maybe weren't ready or perhaps just didn't have that experience were asked to step up into those bigger roles. The question that I have is, was KU's secondary actually overachieving last year, or did teams just avoid throwing the ball because they knew that there were deficiencies in the middle with those linebackers?
I think Kansas did have some issues at linebacker because of injuries, and that's an area where I think you have a big unknown. We're expecting Joe Dineen to not only return, but return and be better.
Can he be like one of the top linebackers in the conference?
I think he can. There's no question about that. And then the role of a linebacker has changed so much. So we used to think the linebacker is the guy that makes the big hits in between the tight ends. And now one of your linebackers, if you're playing a true spread offense that's not using a tight end, you're only going to have one linebacker that plays in between the tight ends. The other guy is going to be out on a slot somewhere. So he's going to be playing in space. So really, he's a converted strong safety, you know, that's maybe just a few pounds heavier. But it's basically you're playing with a strong safety out there, and then what we call the true linebacker. There is pressure to be a great tackler if you're playing linebacker in today, because as I mentioned to one of our guests last week, I can't remember who it was, but it was a linebacker that came in. It wasn't Osaz, and it wasn't Joe.
I think it was Loniker, wasn't it? It was Keith.
We didn't have Keith Loniker last week.
Are you talking about this past Monday?
Yes.
Denzel Feaster?
It was Denzel Feaster. Thank you.
By the way, fantastic interview. Denzel Feaster's one of my favorite people we've talked to all year.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We could have a debate for the rest of the show, and we won't go there, just on who was the most impressive to us.
A lot of them, man.
It would be really quick to go through the ones that maybe weren't as much.
Right.
And they were just quiet. It wasn't because of what they
like
said.
Jerks or
negative,
something. Yeah.
Right. There wasn't any negative thing. It was just a little bit more quiet. But I agree. Feaster was very, very impressive. But, you know, when you're all by yourself and they spread you out, if the center can block you, they're going to get a running back to the safety, and it's going to be a very tough tackle in space with a running back matched against a safety who's going to get, you know, the running back's going to get 10 yards, we know, but if the safety doesn't make that one-on-one tackle in space, it's a touchdown. That's what happens if the center can block your linebacker when you spread things out. So being able to take on that center, be athletic, be a tough guy, but be very, very fast and be able to make tackles in space as a linebacker today.
It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Because when you look at some of the numbers, the individual games that KU played in conference play, they held all but two opponents under their average when it comes to passing yards. I mean, everybody was going to remember the Texas Tech game where Patrick Mahomes throws four touchdowns, gets injured, backup Shimonek comes in, throws four more touchdowns. They threw for almost 600 yards. But that's what Texas Tech did. They led the conference in passing. But if you remove that game, KU, on average, held teams 50, 60 yards below what they were doing on average over the course of the season. They gave up less passing first downs than anyone in the Big 12. And you can point to that and say maybe there's reason for optimism, but you lose a lot of guys from the secondary. You lose Fish Smithson. You lose Brandon Stewart and Marnez Ogletree and Tevin Shaw. All of these guys who are back there are all gone. And I think we're pretty optimistic about the guys who are going to be stepping into those new roles, but it's the unknown that leaves that door open for it going in any which direction.
The defensive line, it's no secret that's going to be the strength of this team. But I think it's going to be much better than a year ago. Dorrance Armstrong being unblockable by an offensive tackle, forcing teams maybe to use a tight end. If they have to use a tight end to chip on Dorrance Armstrong, then all of a sudden you're making it easy on your secondary. You're also making it easier for someone like a Daniel Wise because they can't double him inside. And then when you have the other side, and we've talked a lot about those guys on the other side being able to step up. We talked to one of them on Monday, and we've talked to a couple of others, and we'll go through that depth chart in a little bit. But you're going to have quarterbacks that are going to be running from Dorrance right into him.
Right.
So Josh Ihombe can be there, you know. That's going to be – and Isaiah Bean, if he can be there. He's a little bit undersized, but you can bet he's going to be in there on all passing down situations. That they're going to be able to – it wouldn't shock me to see the combined total of sacks from the other defensive end to actually be more than Dorrance Armstrong, because that's what – Dorrance is going to do.
And that'd be a great thing for the team, by the way.
Absolutely. And Dorrance doesn't care. I mean, because anybody that knows football is going to know that by looking at tape.
Right. They're benefiting for giving so much attention to Dorrance.
Absolutely.
And you know what's interesting to me is, like, regardless of how you feel about the secondary, like, we could go back and forth. Maybe you think they're going to be great. I think they're going to stink. They were top half of the country last year when it comes to passing efficiency. And they're going to have some new guys stepping up, but they've got playmakers back there. They've got Mike Lee. A lot of people are already buzzing about Hassan Defense, and we're not really going to know much about him until we actually get to see him out there. And there's so many playmakers up front that regardless of who's starting where, like, I just feel like this team is going to be good enough against the pass. I don't know if they're going to be great, but they're going to be good enough. And the question that I have going into this season is, how are they going to do against the run? I think they're going to be a fine enough pass defense. How are they going to do against the run? Only six teams in the entire country last year gave up more rushing first downs than KU did. And you can look at who led the team in tackles. I mean, guys up there, Fish Smithson, Mike Lee, Tevin Shaw, these are guys in the secondary because runners were constantly getting to the second level, and those guys were having to step up. First downs were made. I mean, if you're giving up 12, 13 first downs on the ground per game, teams are sustaining drives, it's really hard to get momentum going at that point. That, to me, for this defense, I know there's a lot of questions about the secondary. For me, my biggest question about the defense is, how much is the run defense going to improve? Because if the answer is not much, I'm not sure it matters all that much what everybody else is doing.
I'm not as much into the numbers. I'm into the numbers as far as total defense. Kansas was one of the best teams in the country at third down efficiency. I think that's a key one. But, you know, Clint Bowling can control the passing and the rushing defense by the defense that he puts out there. I think a lot of the reason why Kansas allowed more in rushing is Clint was helping his secondary out.
Sure.
So he's keeping that second safety up there. If he had put him in the box, you know, but what he's saying is, okay, we're going to give you the runs, but, you know, we're just going to try to keep you out of the end zone. We're not going to get up the long ball. So
what you're saying essentially is that maybe the rushing defensive numbers for KU are skewed a little bit because of what they were doing to help out the secondary.
Absolutely. You know, using two safeties instead of one. If you use one safety, you got that third linebacker that can come in there and help out the run defense. But Clint decided to, you know, make it so you're not going to give up that long ball. And because most defensive coaches understand that, you know, you can usually – teams won't go 80 yards on a drive and score. If you make, even if you're giving up 5 yards a carry, which is really, really high, right? That something happens. You have a penalty. You have a hold. You have a false start. You could have a fumble. A lot of things can go wrong that doesn't allow you to have that 15-play drive for a touchdown. But if you're playing light in the secondary and you know, you've got one safety, you don't feel comfortable about your corner being able to play man and against a vertical of a Big 12 receiver, then you're going to take your chances on the odds of being able to stop a team eventually and not allowing that touchdown and maybe just giving up the field goal. But in the process, you're going to give up a lot of yards rushing.
Okay, so my question for you then becomes, what is the formula going into 2017 to where you look at that number and say, okay, we can't give up 230 yards on the ground anymore. We've got to lower that number. We've got to shorten these drives, and we've got to get our offense on the field more often.
You know, Clint, I mean, they have a game plan that could be night and day different from week to week. You know, he's going to take a look at Southeast Missouri, and you know, he's going to take, okay, who can we not guard from their receivers? If he says, hey, I like my corner's chances against the receivers for Southeast Missouri, he can play that different. And then you're going to see maybe that extra guy in the box. So Kansas run defense could be really, really good. You know, I haven't done the scouting report on Central Michigan and Ohio, but things could be different there. Clint could say, wow, I don't like my chances of covering vertical on their two wide guys because they've got some NFL talent. We've got young corners. So I'm going to keep two safeties. We've got to get some extra insurance in there. I'm going to go light in the middle. And so I'm going to give up more yards rushing against Central Michigan because I don't like the matchup out wide. You know, then you go against teams that have a tight end or use a fullback. And then you're just going to play Mickey Mouse. So when their fullback or tight end is in there, then you're going to load up the box. If they go out spread, you're going to empty it up. So it's just all about matching personnel. That's why the officials, the rules of the Big 12 and college football allow you to make those changes in lineups when the offense, you know, substitutes late. No matter where it is on the clock, you have to allow the defense to counter that substitution. And that's what playing in the Big 12 or college football is today, is matching up personnel groups. And you could see about 50 different personnel groupings on offense. So that means Clint has 50 different defenses to match every one of those different personnel groups on offense.
And, you know, I try to stop myself from constantly harping back to the 07 year. Like, it's really easy to do. It's really easy to point to the best, you know, season in school history that happens to be about a decade ago. But that, I mean, we talk all about that offense and the prolific numbers they were able to put up. They had a top five defense in the country. I mean, they were keeping teams under 20 points per game. They were just stout at every single level, and I'm not expecting this Kansas team to be top five in the country, but I mean, they do have to take a pretty big step forward. What do you think is a realistic expectation for how much better they can be in 2017 on defense than they were last year?
You know, it's hard for me to just say on the defensive side. I think it comes together as a grouping. But let me bring up the obvious. I try not to focus too much as far as saying this is a key to the game, because this is a key to every game. In 2007, they did it better than almost everyone. It can be your fifth grader that knows that turnovers are going to control most football games, okay? Now, are turnovers a matter of luck, or is it a skill, or is it a toughness level? And it's all three. But we know that 07 did it better than almost any Kansas team in the history.
They were getting, I think, close to three a game.
Yes, yes. So I think we ended up being like a plus 19 on the year, something ridiculous. We know that, you know, since 08, Kansas has been on the negative end. I think it's a mindset that you go into. Certainly every coach in America from middle school on up emphasizes turnovers. When I coached ninth grade ball, I would go through it every day, and I'd make the kids say it. It was the key is turnovers. If you're on defense, you're always cognizant. You're going to try to strip everything. On offense, you're never going to give it up. And most coaches will have penalties on kids in practice that ever give that thing up. Is that enough? No, you got to go further than that. I mean, it's about strength training. It's about defense being able to do drills where they can punch the ball and get that thing loose, about teaching the second guy there, you know, to be the guy that comes in and does this trip. And then on offense, about, you know, when you go for that extra yard, or when you know, hey, you got to go down because you're very vulnerable here because you got four guys on defense around you. So it's a lot of things that go into it. But turnovers is the most important factor in college football, high school football, and NFL football. And it's a lot of things that go into that. So let's just kind of get that out there, that that's going to be a big key to this season. It's going to be the biggest key, and what Kansas can do to improve on that level.
That's key number one. Not necessarily the top key, but it's the first one we're giving you, and we're going to give you more of those coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. He's David Lawrence. I'm Nick Schwert. This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We'll keep talking KU football. We got to get ready for Italy. Greg Gurley is going to join us coming up at 5:15.
The Big DL makes a triumphant return to RCST. Catch David Lawrence joining Nick Schwert on Rock Chalk Sports Talk every Monday from 4 to 6, right here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It's quarter after 5, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I am Nick Schwert. David Lawrence is with me. We are at the Dale Willie Auto Pre-Owned Center. We will be here till 6 o'clock. We've talked a lot of football today, and it's not often that you're at the end of July and you realize the basketball's right around the corner. But for KU this year, it is, because a week from today, they'll be playing their first game over in Italy. So it's time to talk some B-ball, David.
And who would we select to talk basketball with? None other than Greg Gurley,
sorry.
The expert color analyst.
My bad, Greg.
Of the Kansas Jayhawks, who's packing his bag right now, probably folding his boxers to make sure that he includes everything in his baggies. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm kind of a late packer. I think we leave at 10 o'clock on Monday, so I'll probably pack about 7 o'clock on Monday morning.
Are you going to be pulling out, like, a lot of your exotic styles since you're going over to Europe? Are you going to be pulling anything out of your bag that you wouldn't normally wear over here?
You know, that's a good question. Going to Milan is such a fashion hub.
That's right.
That's a good question. I might have to bring my pink pants or something. I might have to look through my family's out of town, so my taking care of myself in my home is not the greatest. Like, as far as like laundry and dishes and ironing, like I'm not good at that. Like, I don't know how to do it. Just kind of on purpose, not knowing how to do it. I'm sure I could learn, but I just don't want to.
It's too late now, man.
Yeah.
You have to have hired someone, didn't you? So you get that place cleaned up.
Like a nanny.
I mean, I'll admit it. I went over to my mom's house last Sunday like I was coming home from college. I had a load of laundry. That's how
did that.
Not as far as I come. I don't know what the word is. That's how embarrassing it is.
No, man. I think just own it. I mean, it's too late to change who you are now. Just own who you are. I respect that, actually.
Well, I'm glad I have your respect, Nick.
No problem.
Greg Gurley joins us, heading over to Italy with the Kansas Jayhawks. So I know you've got a twofold job. You're going to be covering games with Brian Haney, but you're also going to be showing around some guests as one of the leaders at the Williams Fund. But give us maybe the top things you're going to be looking for when it comes to the basketball side of it, Greg.
Well, you know, we're obviously a very guard-oriented team. You know, we know what we got with Devontae and with Gerald and Svi, but, you know, I want to see what we've got with, you know, we didn't get a good look at Doak last year because he played 11 games or something like that. And so watching him, you know, the thing for him is going to be staying out of foul trouble. And this will be a good test for him because we know European players like to play off the dribble, the big guys do. So it's going to be an interesting deal for him because he's not the quickest guy. He's an athletic guy. But as far as moving his feet, he's just so big. It's going to be hard to stay in front of a lot of these guys. So I'm curious to see that. I'm curious to watch Billy Preston. You know, I've been to 3 or 4 practices, and, you know, he's raw, but he's got a body on him. He's a really good athlete, and he just, you know, he just doesn't know how to play yet. You know, when you get guys like that, they don't know really what they're doing because they've always been able to use their athleticism and their size to play bully ball. And at some point, that doesn't work anymore, and you have to learn how to play the game. And I think this is a great step for him. The guy that I've really been impressed with, and I was texting with Bill the other night, I said, man, I really like Marcus Garrett. Marcus Garrett, kind of the unsung guy. We don't talk a whole lot about him, but he was the player of the year in the state of Texas, which obviously that's a big deal. I wasn't a McDonald's All-American, so he didn't get all the fanfare, but Marcus Garrett, the practice I watched, I mean, he didn't miss. He's really not known as a shooter, so he's going to be a guy that it's going to be hard for him to get significant minutes because of Devontae and Svi and LeGerald and the guard-oriented team that we're going to have, but I think he's too good of a player to not get a little bit of quality minutes.
Talking to Greg Gurley here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. You mentioned it is a guard-oriented team. Only 3 bigs on the roster after Jack Whitman's departure, with that news kind of coming so, I guess, right before this trip to Italy. Does it change kind of what KU is going to be looking to do over there with only having 3 big guys who are actually going to be on scholarship to start next year?
Well, yes and no. I mean, what we need to pump the brakes on a little bit is trying to determine what we're going to do in Italy. Bill looks at this as an opportunity to have a cool trip, create some camaraderie with some new guys, and then just team atmosphere. It's a cool trip. You can go see someplace that you're never going to see before. You know, 4 years ago on the trip, a couple of games Bill didn't even coach. He let Curtis and Norm do it. So they're going to try all different kinds of things. So I don't know how much we're going to really learn about this group as a team, because you're going to have Sam and Charlie Moore and the Lawsons, everybody playing, and they're not going to be playing next year with the exception of Sam after the first semester. So shouldn't read too much into it, but it's a great opportunity to get better. It's a great opportunity to see the world. And then it's just a great opportunity to be around the guys and just on a road setting where, you know, you're kind of a group on an island that you don't have a lot of interaction with others because of the language barrier, and you kind of come together that way. So I'm really looking forward to it. Brian and I will be calling the games, and I'm sure all the listening public can figure out how to get them. Flow TV is going to stream the game, and you can go to the KU Athletic site and look out how to do that. And so Brian's a little nervous about, because he's the smart guy, and we won't have our fearless leader, Bob Newton, with us, so Brian's got to double duty it and engineer the sound, which isn't easy. And I know if something goes wrong or Brian gets sick or something, I know I couldn't do it. So that's another one of those things, like laundry and dishes. I just don't know how to do it. And so hopefully it all works out in a foreign country. And Brian's been talking with Guido, who is going to be the sound engineer from Italy. So it's going to be interesting. But hopefully everything comes off without a hitch, and we have a good time, and we get better.
Greg, David, all summer long, all off season, the guy he's been touting is taking a big step forward next year is Mitch Lightfoot, and we've heard a lot of good things about him from, you know, the various camps and the practices that people have been able to attend. But now, you know, with that Whitman departure, it seems like there's even more of an opportunity for him to get, you know, not only legitimate playing time, but consistent playing time across the season. Is this the sort of year, even as a sophomore, where a lot of people are going to be counting on him to step up?
Well, yeah. I mean, he has to. Like you said, there's only 3 big guys, and it's something with Dwight being gone, and, you know, we didn't really know what we were going to have in Jack Whitman, and we're not going to know because he decided to not play. So you're left with no depth. Now, I think the beauty of it is that we went through an entire year last year with similar depth, and it wasn't very good underneath. You know, it was basically Landon Lucas, and, you know, Carlton fell off so much. So I think if you look at it where you lose Carlton and you get Billy Preston, that's a win. You lose Landon and you get a healthy Doak, that's a win. And then you have Mitch coming off the bench. Now I think we're going to miss from departures last year was Josh. We're not going to really know how good Josh was until we don't have him this year. You know, you don't know what you had until you lost it. Josh was so good at everything, defending the post, passing. I mean, he affected the game in so many ways, and we're obviously going to miss that. So other guys are going to have to step up, and like you said, Mitch is a guy that is going to be the guy. I mean, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be foul trouble. It is Mitch is going to play big-time minutes at some point. I don't know if he's going to be a starter, but he's going to play a lot of minutes.
Talking with Greg Gurley, who's the color analyst of Kansas basketball. Okay, I'm going to ask you the most important question of the day, something that every listener is going to take with them and listen to what you have to say. So Jack Whitman departs. Kansas has one scholarship remaining. I'm going to give you four outcomes. I want you to maybe give me the order that you think they're most likely going to go. Okay, so Jack Whitman leaves. Does Kansas, here's A option. They don't get anyone. You know, they just keep the scholarship because they're not going to find someone that really is worthy. B, a graduate transfer. A lot of those have already decided where to go, but it is what it is. Number three, get a junior college player that's a qualifier, thus he can leave after his freshman year. Or D, gets a high school player that reclassifies and can come out this year.
Well, I would probably, I'd probably say A. I think the most likely outcome is nothing happens because it's July, 27th? School starts in less than a month. Anybody worth their salt is going to be playing somewhere. There's not like there's a pool of guys out there. You know, the reclassification of a certain individual, if that were to happen in the next couple weeks, that's a possibility. And if that were to happen, that would be unbelievable. I mean, so that's a possibility, but I think my money would be on nothing happens because you got to be careful about just because you have a scholarship, don't just fill it because let's say you fill it with a guy who played his freshman year in junior college and then he has 3 years left. I mean, you're kind of committed to him if he's no good, you know? And so this is, you only get a certain amount to work with, so you got to make sure that you use it correctly. And so they're not going to go into it and just take a flyer on a guy that maybe could possibly provide a little help, but could also be a dud. So that's my opinion. I don't think anything will happen.
So it's kind of like you in college asking out a girl that you would have to commit to for 3 years, so you just select that you're not going to ask one out?
I'd say it's somewhat similar. It's a bit of a reach, but I get you.
We got Greg Gurley on with us here for just a couple more minutes on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7. Greg, with the timing of that, it is kind of, I don't know, probably frustrating from Bill Self's standpoint. You're getting ready for a season, you're getting ready for this trip, and one of these guys backs out. But would you almost rather have it now as opposed to waiting a couple more months when the season's arriving?
You broke up there. Say that again. I'm sorry.
I mean, the timing of Whitman's departure is probably frustrating from Bill Self and this team's standpoint, but is it a situation where you'd almost rather have it happen now as opposed to him putting it off and transferring when the season's arriving?
I guess. I mean, you know, I only got to see Jack play a couple times, and, you know, the thing I took away with it from it, it was a body. It was a body in practice that could stand in front of Doak when he turns around and knocks you over. I mean, it's almost impossible to defend him. And, you know, for Clay Young and Chris Tehan to try to defend him in the post, that's difficult. So Jack Whitman would have been valuable even if he didn't play any minutes. So in answer to your question, as you move forward, would you rather have it happen, you know, 2 months ago or him not come at all? I don't know the answer. I mean, I think I think you would have liked it. It was a good gamble on a graduate transfer. We've had success with it. Tark Black was great for us. Jack Whitman wasn't Tark Black. You know, he was a guy that was going to be a body in practice, and if plans A, B, and C failed, he'd be there. And, you know, it's not as big of a risk when you have a graduate transfer because you basically have him around for about 8 months. And now we don't have it. We've got to move on. You know, I like to see competitive practices, and I thought last year was great because Frank and Devontae had to go against Malik all the time, and they got better because of that. They'll tell you that. Now, is Doak going to get a lot better posting up Clay Young? You know, no offense to Clay, but he's not, I don't know, give me a name, somebody, from a big boy from West Virginia or from Iowa State.
Adrian, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it doesn't mean he's not going to get better, but if you get beat on like that in practice when you go to Texas or Texas Tech, it's not as difficult because you're used to it. And so there's something to be said for that, but reality is it happened. You move on, and Bill's one of the best at adapting and overcoming obstacles, and that's just what we got to do.
Greg, we appreciate your help. Can you text over there in Italy? We're going to be able to receive those Greg Gurley texts that we
that you enjoy
so love.
Much. Yeah,
exactly.
That you, yes, I think our phone. We just got word that we just use them like we would here. So I will be sure and flood your inbox with all kinds of, you know, pictures of us over there. Maybe some other stuff that I might have in my repertoire, my library. So I know you always enjoy those, and I'll definitely keep you entertained.
Hey, Greg, I like to get texts too, just in case. If you want, I'll have David send you over my
Here's
number.
Okay, yeah, I'll think about that.
Hey, thanks for coming on with us, man. Safe travels.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys, thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty, that's Greg Gurley. I'm Nick Schwert with David Lawrence. The new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. It is 5:30. We've got the basketball talk behind us. What do you say we get back to the gridiron? Football is how many? What's the countdown to? Do you have it? Are you still chiseling
36.
It? You're chiseling it on your wall like an inmate,
36.
Counting how many days he's been in prison. 36. We're closing in on a month, man.
Yes. How about that?
We should have a party when we hit 30
and
days.
We're going to release some special show we're going to do. We talked about a tailgate. We talked about doing a late night special from the press box, but we're going to usher in college football at the University of Kansas in style on 1320 KLWN and the new FM 101.7.
You already knew that Rock Chalk Sports Talk covers KU sports like no other radio show in the show. So, how could it get even better, you ask? By adding a guy who eats, sleeps, and breathes KU, David Lawrence. DL and Nick Schwert on Rock Chalk Sports Talk every Monday from 4 to 6 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
With Nick Schwert, this is David Lawrence. We're going to talk football right here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, live from Dale Willey Automotive at 2800 Iowa. They have GM-certified pre-owned vehicles at their used car facility, brand new state-of-the-art facility that's 10,000 square feet. But with the certified pre-owned cars or trucks, you get 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty, a 6-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and 1.9 APR financing. If you want a new car, it used to be 17% off new cars. Now it's up to 20% off select models, or you can get the 0% financing for 72 months. So come out and check out the folks that have been around since 1970, Dale Willey Automotive.
So I woke up last night in one of those cold sweats, right? I'm feeling sick. I'm going crazy. I'm getting ready for today's show. I go, am I ready? Do we have enough stuff to go? And I said, wait a minute, we haven't talked about the special teams unit yet. And I'm pounding my fists against the wall. I'm screaming, how did we go this long without talking special teams? And I don't know. I just feel like now would be an appropriate time to maybe give them some love. What do you think?
I think you're premenopausal, actually.
Am I entered that stage of my life?
It sounds like you're premenopausal.
Wait, you used to teach health, so can you kind of give me the breakdown of that, too?
We can work on that afterwards.
Right,
how about
fine.
That?
That's cool.
All right, I know you're making fun. So, okay, I don't know where special teams ranks up for you, but it is a factor that you can control that can take you to two more wins, and that's what Kansas needs to get to that, you know, two steps above where they want to be. And granted, yes, you know, maybe I am in a hurry. Maybe I'm impatient. You get older, you want to see that action fast and foremost and put Kansas back on the map. And, you know, we talked about six wins Tuesday night when I was out with my former players, because I think this team could do it, go to a bowl game. But you're going to do it. You got to do it with special teams. Yeah, it's got to be a start, because that's where you can kind of level the playing field, because you're not going to be able to match up with the Oklahomas and Oklahoma States when it comes to all of your skilled athletes that are playing in the backfield, playing in the secondary, playing at the receiver position. Certainly we feel that Kansas is going to be able to match up in a lot of areas. But in special teams, if you can find some guys that are committed to being the very, very best at whatever it is, at a coverage unit on a kickoff, a coverage unit on a punt, having the ability to block a punt and create what I think is the biggest play in college football. And, of course, the architect of how to let special teams make you a better team and win two more games every year is Bill Snyder. You know, and I say that out of all jealousy and respect for Bill Snyder, who at some point in time will be stepping down, and Kansas State will try to continue what he has started over there, scoring without the football, but scoring on special teams, being solid, being able to execute a punt. It's not just trying to score a touchdown through a return punt or kickoff or block punt, but it's being able to change the field over and advance. You know, when you're punting from your 40-yard line, you make the other team start inside the 20 almost every time. And you need to – it's an interesting mixture of people. You know, Brandon McAnderson was part of that. We talk to BMAC all the time on RCST as being a great cover guy on the kickoff. These guys have to be committed. And Mangino made sure they were.
Who did we talk to earlier this week who told us that everybody has to play special teams at least once, right? Is that standard? I mean, is that what most teams do, or is that particular to Joe DeForest and in Kansas?
Well, that could be a David Beatty thing. Yeah. But it's not just the fact that, you know, they're going to volunteer their services. You need to have guys that are committed to being the very, very best, and don't listen to radio announcers' snarky comments about special teams and who wants to talk about special teams. I get it, but the fact is, it is a third of the football game, and it's one that teams that maybe can't match up defensively or offensively can make up a lot of ground through special teams. Yes, you need a skilled punter, you need a skilled kickoff guy, and you need a skilled field goal extra point guy. And Kansas has been notorious through the Charlie Weiss, Turner Gill, and even early David Beatty of not having, you know, someone that could consistently knock down that 35-yard field goal.
Well, go back to last year, and I know you're talking field goals, but I mean, if you want to know the impact that special teams can have, I don't want to pile it on one guy, but KU did have a problem, Quiv Gonzalez, with those muffed punts. I think there were two or three of them last year. And you want to talk about one of the biggest plays in football. You've stopped a team. They're giving you the ball in a muffed punt, a muffed punt return. You're giving the ball back, and you're letting them advance at 60 to 70 yards. I mean, talk about a swing. You go from being stopped to being knocking on the door. That happened two or three times, and those can – one play can swing an entire football game the way we saw last year.
Yes. You know, you pointed out some examples that Kansas has to reverse and to change. And so part of that's just kind of a mental thing that Joe DeForest is trying to overcome and getting these guys to believe that. It's got to be more than the coaches that really understand that special teams can make this team great.
Did you believe in special teams? When you were playing, how much of an emphasis did you put on it? Like, how seriously did you take it?
I could easily say that I really took it serious.
It was your number one priority.
I didn't like it. I wasn't bought in. And
but I feel like that'd be most guys, right?
Probably, yes. Yeah, it takes a unique individual. It's usually not the positions I played. I played tight end for a while, and yes, I was on PAT and I was on kickoff return. But today, it's usually linebackers and secondary, but it's key to get a receiver, just a really tough, crazy guy that has a mean streak that plays receiver, or someone like Taylor Martin, who is so fast that maybe he's not getting the touches on a, you know, carrying the football, but wants to get involved in special teams. So it really is a mindset. Today, you know, back in the day, they used to put, you know, tight ends out there a lot. Now it's people even faster than the tight ends that are going to be on the coverage units, on the punt and the kickoff, and then the return units. You know, they've got to also be committed to making that block, and they study tape. They have their own meeting sessions. And, yeah, you can understand why some players don't like to be a part of it because it's an extra meeting they have to go to.
When you're watching, whether it's Big 12 or just football in general, and you notice a team that has a particularly disciplined special teams unit, what are the characteristics, what are the qualities that you see in those teams?
Sometimes it's not a flashy thing at all. It's just someone like the punt team. Consistently every game. If you ever show a weakness on a particular special teams unit, it's like blood being thrown into the water, you know, and the piranha will all come out there, because you show a vulnerability on tape, everyone is going to try to take advantage of that, because every, you know, that's Joe DeForest's job. He is studying the tape of Southeast Missouri and finding out right now what he's got returning on special teams and who can they take advantage of. But it's being able to get that punt off each and every time and then finding the right combination of people that can be disciplined, stay in their lanes, and make that tackle in the open field and do it time and time and time again. So sometimes it's not anything flashy. It's just getting off a punt and being able to change field position and flip it around so that your defense is going to go out there and the other team's offense is going to have a long field in front of them.
Quarter till six, Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. All right, let's talk specifics about KU. I think we've talked about it a lot. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of speed at wide receiver. There's a lot of speed at running back. Those are the two positions I think you most naturally gravitate towards when you're looking for punt returners, kick returners. It seems like one area where KU has a pretty high ceiling and something they could be pretty good at this year.
No question about that. But, you know, it also comes to the people that are able to execute the blocking scheme that gives these people a chance. And when it comes to kickoff, and one thing that I say all the time, and I think we had a young man that was a returner on Monday, and I think it was Ryan Shadler. It's being able to accelerate at the crease on the kickoff return. And I can think of few things in life that cause you to be so nervous, apprehensive, concerned, stressed out, or whatever, because there is a point that it comes about the 15-yard line to the 27-yard line, and you're going to run into the flak of 11 people coming at you. And can you hit that full speed, making that quick single move, or are you going to slow down a little bit because you're unsure of where you're going to go, and you're kind of being self-protective a little bit and kind of lowering the jets? Because if you can hit that mesh 100% full speed every time, you can be really, really successful. And I think some kids go through a time period where they can do it, and then all of a sudden maybe they take that hit, and then, you know, unconsciously, you know, they just naturally kind of slow down a little bit, and they go back down to kind of being average instead of being excellent. But I think Ryan Shadler has an opportunity to do that. He's already shown he can do it. And what a special story that we heard from Ryan Shadler later. And I don't think he shared part of it.
We talked about it a little bit. But
he talked about it a little bit. He talked to us a lot about it. But this is a young man that had a life-threatening illness, probably disorder, I guess would be the thing, where his intestines were not in the right place, and it caused, you know, other areas to be inflamed, infected, and in his internal organs.
To play essentially 20 years of football with that without knowing is absurd to me.
He has a kind of toughness that's in him that other people don't have, because you're right.
Clearly, yeah.
He dealt with issues as an athlete, as a runner. I mean, he didn't feel comfortable. He was tired of saying, hey, I need a break, when, you know, he really did.
Yeah.
Because he had something wrong with him. But he got that fixed. He should be fine now. And he's got God-given speed that you just can't coach. And I look forward to seeing Ryan Shadler being a major factor of this team. And it could be as just what we're looking for in that return unit on the kickoff.
There's going to be a lot of competition for whoever is going to be returning punts. Other areas of special teams, kicking, punting. I mean, obviously, kickoffs. These are the sorts of stuff you don't really pay attention to. I mean, I think the average fan doesn't. We're looking for interceptions. We're looking for sacks. We're looking for touchdowns. We're looking for rushing yards. So how do you kind of assess whether or not a team is doing its job, whether or not one of those units is excelling or better than they were a year ago?
Well, now that the touchbacks are guaranteeing that you get to the 25, a lot of teams on special teams aren't happy with that. And they want the other team to have to return it. So they work on getting the high kick. So it's not the deep kick.
It's turning into punting, right?
It's turning
into high directional kicking.
And, you know, so where are you starting every down at? Is it less than the 25-yard line, or is it plus the 25-yard line? And where are your opponents starting from the line of scrimmage after you kick off? That's a big one. In the punting game, one thing that you see a lot more of now that we didn't see back in the day was the backspins. You know, being able to get that punt to hit and take the spin back so it doesn't roll into the end zone. So how many times is your opponent starting inside the 25-yard line? The return unit, I mentioned the kickoff return, it's a speedster. It's a sprinter that takes it full speed at the mesh and doesn't look back. And then on the punt return, it's the fast twitch kid that can make a lateral move. It's that quick lateral move and then the acceleration up the field. But also being able to think on your feet that you're not going to take the negative yards and try to wrap it around because you think you're the fastest guy in the world and you're going to be able to outrace someone to the sideline.
You love special teams. The only person, you know what? The only person who loves special teams more than you know who that is? Former Kansas football coach, Charlie Weiss. That guy loved talking about the special teams. Didn't necessarily pan out the way he wanted to, but he put an emphasis on special teams. He got it. He was a football guy like you.
Charlie had a schematic advantage on his opponents.
What was that? Can't tell. He couldn't tell you what it was, but.
You didn't. Oh, well, that's what he said when he was head coach at Notre Dame. Yeah, and he probably wasn't a good thing to put out there. Like, he was a guy that knew more about football than anyone else.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and wrap things up on the other side. We're at the Dale Willey Auto Pre-Owned Center. He's David Lawrence. I'm Nick Schwert. And this is Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.